Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right. We'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the railing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Hello, hello, what up, ladies and gentlemen? We welcome you to the Warriors Roundtable Show, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball. Kevin Dana rocking with you, hoping to be joined soon by Gary St. Jean, hoping to get him on the line shortly, as the Warriors have hit the midpoint of the season. We're taking your calls all hour, 888-957-9570. You want to talk about the first half of the season, what impressed you, what disappointed you? We would love to hear your opinion. Well, 41 games in, 41 games left after the win over Portland. We'll get into the win over Portland a little later this evening. But that left the Warriors at 22 up and 19 down. And quite honestly, I'm sure the guys in the locker room feel like they should be at least 25 and 16 with some of the games that have just kind of escaped their grasp slash kicked away. And this season would feel significantly different, I'd say, at 25 and 16. You'd be right there at the sixth seed, I should say. And I'm sure that there are more than three games that other Warriors fans feel like they could have won. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. The game in Indiana where you had an 11-point lead with 6 minutes to go. The Philadelphia game, that one was all but won. And just so many others. I believe it looks like we have a Gary on now. Gary, can you hear me? Apparently we do not. My apologies. But, you know, there's just been so many games. The Toronto game, two of the Portland losses that just got out of the grasp of the Warriors. I mean, losing by one at LA despite shooting under 25% from three. Like, if they win a couple of those games, I do feel like there's a bit of a different tenor to the season for the Warriors in this one. Well, this is what Steve Kerr had to say about where the team is at the midpoint of the season.
I think we're in a pretty good place. You know, we obviously lost some games in the first half of the year that we should have won. We feel like our record should be better, but none of that matters. We got to just take care of ourselves right now and do what we can to, you know, climb up the standings. So we're playing better. We're playing pretty consistently, doing a lot of good things right now.
And I would agree with that. They are 9-4 in their last 13, a couple of losses that could have gone the other way. I mean, I wouldn't say they should be 11-2 in their last 13. The Toronto game, the LA game come to mind. But they have been playing a lot better. We'll talk about the Atlanta game in a little bit too, because that certainly was concerning. But this is basically where the Dubs have been at the 41-game mark since the last championship in 2022. You look over the years. Last year, they were 21-20 through 41. 2 years ago, 19-22. 22-23, they were 20-21. So this is the best they've been at the midpoint since winning the title. 22-19, to quote Jimmy Butler, doesn't feel great. He said and feels like it's mediocre right now. But this is kind of where they've been. And then the second half of the season is where they have really kind of kicked up things a notch. We always talk about, you know, Saint and I, about getting to 50 wins. And so what that means this year is going 28-13 over the last half of the season. While they haven't done 28-13 over the final 41 games the last 3 years, they've come damn close. I mean, 27-14 last year, 27-14 2 years ago. They were 24-17 three seasons ago, the year after they won the title. So they've been consistently better in the second half of the season than they have in the first half of the season. So there's certainly some room for optimism. And the reason why Saint and I have talked about 50 wins so often, and one reason is that if you look back over the last 10 years in seasons with 82 games, so you take out the 2019-20 season and the 2021 season, because those seasons had roughly 72 games. I think some in the 19-20 season were a little under that. But as we do welcome Saint in here, and Saint, I want to get your thoughts on this. Just talking about getting to 50 wins, and when we talk about it, because the sixth seed in the West with their average, the average number of wins for a sixth seed in the West over the last 10 years in games in seasons with 82 games is 48.2. Only twice has a sixth seed had more than 50 wins in the last 10 full seasons. So if you get to 50 wins, you're probably avoiding the play-in.
Kev, I think you're spot on with your breakdown. And, we've always used that as a benchmark for really having an outstanding season. We always talked about winning 30 at home and maybe 21 on the road or 20. That gets you to 50. And, you broke it down over the top six. And, my gosh, I don't know how many people look at the standings all the time, but I do. And if you look at 2 through 7, and the Warriors are right after that, and then you and it's so tight. What is it? 2-3 games. Then when you look at the Warriors situation, you got these home games. I know a couple have kind of slipped by, but come on, win these last three, and you're only a couple games back in the loss column. And so everything, everyone's worried about this, that, and everything else. And we're going to talk about last night's game, but this is very, very doable in my mind. I think somebody up there is going to have a problem, but I do think the Suns are for real, and they concern me. But everybody else up there, something could happen. I'm amazed that Denver's kept winning without the Joker.
Yeah, they're 5-3 without Nikola Jokic this year. At least in this most recent stretch of games he's missed, they're about to play the Dallas Mavericks in just a little bit. I'm curious, what have been your biggest takeaways from the first half of the season for Golden State?
Well, I guess for me, when I look at this whole thing, has been the inconsistency of the young players. Obviously, we would have liked to see the Kuminga, who we saw start the year. And, I called him an X factor because he could have really been beneficial to this team. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He may be here till the end of the year. Maybe they'll start playing him. But at the end of the day, I'm talking about those young guys like Moody and Podzimski and I'm looking at the rookie and that kind of thing and the young centers. I thought last night was really a really special. I love the way the bench played. And, we've seen that tactic with a lot of great players in the league, just double teaming the star when they did with Steph and he picked them apart. But then making all those threes and look at the assist turnover ratio. The other thing that maybe Steve doesn't even want us to talk about it because he's not talking about it. Turnover.
Yeah. That was a pretty funny comment he made.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess that's my biggest thing. And, Steph's been unbelievable, just phenomenal. And, Draymond's been banged up physically. And, I liked Butler last night, for example. And whether he wants it or not, when there's nights when the younger guys aren't giving it to you as much, I think he has to look to the basket more. I just think that's needed for the team. And I guess that'd be my breakdown.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair, very solid breakdown. And so moving forward to the second half of the season, we talked about, look, the goal is 50 wins, so that means 28-13 over the last half. On your wish list of things for Golden State in the second half, what do you think needs to happen for that to become a reality, for the Warriors to climb into the top six and get to 50-32?
Well, you and I talked a lot about Moody and post consistency. I think he's been very inconsistent from the perimeter. I guess maybe, when you can get up to the high 30s shooting on the three ball, then you're really dangerous as a whole team. I look at that. I look at the assist turnover ratio last night, and those talk to you every single game. They tell you where you're at. Now, you're not going to be a great three-point shooting team every single night, but this team is built for ball movement, people movement, get good spacing, and create for each other. So if I've got a good shot and Kev's got a great shot, I'm moving the ball on to you. And I think that's that mentality. It becomes infectious. It's like shooting. Passing is the same way. And when you change sides of the floor and you get the defense shifting and then you dribble penetrate and the defense contracts and then you kick it out to your guy on the left wing and he knocks down the shot, my gosh, that feels good. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for, to make that thing really move. And they've done it in the past. And I say this all the time. Don't show me you can do it, because then I get crazy when you don't do it.
I mean, they certainly showed that they could do it last night, that the ball was moving. Boy. We'll get into the win a little more as the show goes on. Again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. Talk about that win over Portland. Talk about the loss to Atlanta. Anything else you want to talk about. But, look, I think it was, 19 assists on 23 makes in the first half. That's an assist percentage well above 80%. And, like, if you're around mid-60s assist percentage-wise, that's really good. So, I mean, they were just they were doing a fantastic job moving the ball around last night. The bench was great. It was the seventh time this season that the Warriors have gotten 60-plus points from the bench, which is just an incredible number. So awesome to see that. We'll break down more of that game on the other side of this timeout. But first, Dub Nation, your vote counts triple today. Dub the Vote, presented by Google Cloud, to send your favorite Warriors players to the 2026 All-Star Game. Visit warriors.com/vote to vote now. We'll take a break, get into the win over the Blazers, the loss to the Hawks, and more, and taking your calls right here on 95.7 The Game.
Sir Kevin and Sir Gary welcome you back to the Warriors Roundtable.
Launches a three. Gucci!
On the valiant 95.7 The Game.
Secure your seats for the home stretch following the All-Star break. Get the buzzer beater plan today. Includes games against the Lakers, Spurs, Rockets, and more. Call 888-GSW-HOOP or visit warriors.com to learn more. Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 The Game. You want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. The saintly one and myself, Kevin Dana, rocking with you until 7 p.m. So last night, the Warriors got to game 41 with a 119-97 win over Portland. And the first thing that came to my mind going into this game, now, obviously, it helped that Denny Avdia was hurt and that Jeremy Grant wasn't playing and that they had seven guys on the injury report, I think it was. But things tend to regress to the mean over time. And what that brought up for me is, like, Portland is 3-0 against Golden State. They booted them pretty good one game. That was when the back end of a back-to-back game three of the season. Two very close losses for the Warriors. There's no way that the Warriors were 0-4 bad against the Blazers this year. And it proved last night, yes, the injuries for the Blazers certainly helped, but this was a get-right game for Golden State.
Yeah, it really was, Kevin. You know, when you come out sharp and you're making good decisions, that for me is such a big part of a win. You know, you make the right read, and cannot give Steph Curry more praise. And he's ready for this. This has been thrown on the plate a couple of times. And you know what's important, Kev? You've got three outlets when you've been double-teamed. And you want your guy, say you're at midcourt, like toward the corners or toward the sideline. You want a guy in the middle. You want a guy that's parallel to him. And then you want a guy down the sideline. You don't want to leave him without passing opportunities. And especially if you get it to the middle, then you look weak to what we call the dunk position or the guys in the weak side corner. So they did that beautifully. And that set the tone, I thought, for the game.
Yeah, no, it really did. I mean, they finished 23 of 57 from three in that game. Just, you know, 40-plus percent from deep. Really good stuff from the Warriors. And you mentioned it with Steph and Curry. Look, they made Steph, the Blazers did, a distributor, and he absolutely killed them with it. Like, I feel like we see this a lot when teams are hell-bent on taking away Steph's shot, which, I mean, you should be. He's the best shooter of all time, one of the best players in the league's history. But Stephen Curry is more than a willing passer. We saw it, season-high 11 assists, second time this season with 10-plus assists. He knows how to find the open man. And when you double him, everyone else is getting wide open threes. Yeah. And, it created looks for a guy like Moses Moody, who's been struggling with his shot. I think he hit three threes yesterday. It was good to see him knock a few down. We'll get to DeAnthony Melton in a little bit, but he was cooking. And this is the kind of thing that could help get some guys on track.
Well, you know, when that happens, when there's a double team, you tend to have more time to shoot. There's the shot contestment isn't as tough on you. And if you drift in the right place, and in the knack of drifting, we talked about passing outlets, but then to dribble, there's dribble penetration, you can't be even or above the guy with the ball. As he's dribbling down, let's say he gets to the top of the key, and he starts dribbling to the free throw line, he gets a little lower. Well, then, if I'm doing that, then Kevin's got to get to that corner so that the passer has a good angle to feed him. And I thought they did that in a real positive way. So just good spacing and then knocking down the shots. And Steve mentioned it. That gets to be kind of infectious. It really does. And I mentioned the passing and that same thing there. And, we're going to talk about a couple other guys, but, I was glad to see it go in for Moody. That was great because it's been a little bit of a slump. And frankly, they need his production.
They really do, Saint. They need him to be scoring in the teens, I believe. He was a little more than 10 points per game going into last night. He scored 14 points last night, a nice part of the victory. He was one of 21 guys in that game who made a three. That's an NBA record for most players to make a three in an NBA game. So, 21 different guys making a three. Just unreal stuff. I mean, in today's pace and space where you're going to see a guy like Jan Hansen hit a three, a big man for Portland. I mean, Quinn Post, we know what he can do. But, it's definitely the game is changing. And another guy who hit a three is DeAnthony Melton. He had 23 points, 4 of 6 from deep, but 9 of 14 from the field. Let's hear from Draymond Green on Melton's recent surge, and then Sam will get your thoughts.
I think he's putting the ball on the floor a lot more than he has in the past. But just really having that, another ball handler, playmaker, he's starting to shoot the ball really well, and obviously we know what he's capable of defensively. So just adding a different dynamic, especially to that group that he plays mostly with.
Well, as usual, when you talk X's and O's about a player, Draymond's right on. And that's confidence. He's coming back from that ACL. And you and I have had a number of chats about him and the scouting report on him when he got him 2 years ago. And then you're beginning to see, what the scouting report said. And he's a smart player. And he can put it on the floor and create for others. And that when you have guys that can do that, Kevin, an NBA game, that is so big. It's huge. Because when you get dribble penetration, you touch the paint, that's big. I don't know what the percentages are that you're going to go all the way to the rack or whether you're going to kick it out. But, boy, that puts a real strain on the defense. Shooting looks good. And Draymond touched on his defense, which we all think is special. But it just takes a little bit more load off of Steph.
Yeah, and that's the key right there. Takes a little bit more of a load off of Steph because it gives you another guy that can be like that third scorer on a given night. You know what you're going to get with Steph. You know what you're going to get with Jimmy Butler in the point department. But now if Melton can give you 15 one night, Moody give you 15 another, Pods give you 15, 16 another night, it's just another option for being that third option. And Melton is a guy who over the course of his career, he averages 10-ish to 11 points per game. He's done that consistently the last few years in the NBA. And so he just gives you another quality role player. And the more you can have of those, and maybe, you know, we'll see, you know, how permanent this starting lineup is. Steve likes the consistency of the starting lineup, but just having that another guy, that other guy who could be a third scorer on a given night, I think is huge for this team.
Well, that's right on, because you're not going to expect Draymond to score a ton of points. And, you know, the other, for, you know, obviously Steph, and then you mentioned the other guys and Jimmy Butler. And, you know, then from the five spot, if Post can give you something, and I just kind of think that Grandpa's starting to play better. Our man Horford, I just think he feels better. I love that guy. I just, and again, we're talking about people. He's so special as a guy. Everywhere he's been, they rant and rave about him. So I'm happy he's feeling better and making shots. Now, one guy we haven't talked about, and I'm not talking about point production, but I'm talking about winning, is Gary Payton. And yes. What are we going to call him? The little big man or something? We got to come up with a phrase, because he plays like a darn big, and yet he can go out there and guard smalls and plays in that dunker position. If you're a coach, you just feel good about putting that guy on the floor.
You really do. I mean, yeah, that's what they call him on the TV broadcast, the little big man. And I've shared this story before on Warriors Roundtable when I've had a chance to go to some practices, you know, when I'm on road trips. When they break down shooting into bigs and wings slash guards, Gary is with the bigs.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's great.
It was something to see. I mean, it's like, it makes total sense, because that's the position he essentially plays for this team. But you just see this 6'2", 6'3", guy hanging out in the dunker spot on offense, and it doesn't necessarily make conventional sense, but it makes a whole lot of sense within the Warriors system. I wanted to ask you about something, Saint. Steve Kerr made a comment recently that great players are really good 4 out of 5 games. Role players are good 2 out of 4 games, basically. And the other couple, they struggle a little bit. Is that something you've noticed over the course of your coaching and executive career?
I got to tell you something. I've never heard it broken down that way. But it sure does make a lot of sense. You know, when you got your prime time players, they find a way to give it to you. And the real special ones, maybe they're not shooting well, but they find a way to impact the game. And I don't know, the role players, can you go up to 3 out of 5? You said 2 out of 4. I like 3 out of 5 better. And if they're doing that, then you're gonna win.
Yeah, 60% is better than 50% of the time. I'm with you there. One other thing I like from this Portland win was the defense. 16 steals and 5 blocks, and it's the ninth time this season the Warriors have held an opponent under 100. And yes, you could say, I'd say a lot of it is due to no Avdija, no Jeremy Grant, and Drew Holiday's on a minutes restriction, and he was really good when he was in there. But this was some of the most flustered opponent play I've seen against Golden State this year. I mean, 16 steals. That is a mountain. Like, the Warriors averaged around 9 steals per game, so they nearly doubled that average last night.
Yeah, that, you know what, Kev, when you bring out that stat, we've talked about the assist turnover ratio, we've talked about the 3-point shooting, we've talked about the energy factor. What does that spell? WIN to me. That's huge. I mean, when you defend like that, it gets you in the open floor. I mean, and then the game's so much fun to play, and you know, you just get rewarded. And that, you know, when you're getting steals and deflections, they're usually not right underneath the rim; they're on the perimeter.
And
when you do that, that probably has a little trust that I know somebody behind me is there just in case I miss. And you see that a lot in the league, where really, really good teams, I'm going to say OKC, when you deny on a pass to the wing, and you don't get it, and they dribble penetrate, there's always somebody there to cover for you, and yeah. And really special teams defend like that. And this team, when any team, when you can put Draymond and Butler out there, and then you bring in Melton, you got some guys that, and Moody's a darn good defender, so. You've got some guys that are really capable of disrupting.
Yeah, no, that's well said, saying plenty of guys who are capable of disrupting. And you think about it this way, you hear people talk about live ball turnovers versus dead ball turnovers. Oh, yeah. Well, if you're getting 16 steals, that's 16 live ball turnovers. And if you're getting that many transition opportunities in a game just off a team turning it over, I mean, that's really going to flip the script for you, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right on, and you know they're undermanned and banged up, and they've been banged up all year. But I'm gonna give them a ton of credit. They've really played hard, and they've gotten better. I mean, they still. What's our guy? Henderson, is that his name?
The Scoot hasn't played all season.
Yeah, he hasn't even
tore
played.
His hamstring in September.
What a darn shame. Yeah, and. You could say he's one of your top three players, and obviously, they've just missed key guys, but yet they've done a good job. I mean, Grant's hardly played, too, and good for them. I with all the situation up there with coaches and all that, I love when I see teams play hard.
Yeah, no, so good stuff from Tiago Splitter's crew, and they are well-positioned to be in the play-in this year. They're at 19-22. Another team that's positioned to be in the play-in this year, the Atlanta Hawks. And outside of the loss at Oklahoma City, maybe 10 games into the season or something, on that road trip, that six-game road trip where it went OKC, then the two in San Antonio, then that road trip. Outside of that loss at OKC, I think the loss Sunday to the Atlanta Hawks, 124-111, looked like the most that Golden State had been outclassed this year. And I would take Golden State in a series against the Hawks, but in a single game, Atlanta is a horrendous matchup.
Well, what have they got? They've got really, really good wing players. They've moved on from Young. The kid Johnson, I think, will he be an all-star, Kev? I think so.
He
averaged a triple double last month, and
Jalen Johnson has to be an all-star in my book.
Yeah, I would think so. And then what's the guy that they got from San Antonio, the guy that makes all the steals, the defensive guy?
You think Dyson Daniels?
Yes. I
know he didn't come from San Antonio, but
where'd they get him from? I forget where.
New Orleans.
New Orleans, but I'll tell you what, that guy, he's disruptive. He's like Lou Dort in Oklahoma City. I mean, you don't find many guys that can do that every single night. He takes great pride in who he is, his identity in the NBA. And, they're well coached, but I'm going to tell you something crazy. Last night, the Lakers played him, and the Lakers blew him out. They were up by 30. And that was Lakers were off a back-to-back, losing to the Kings. And this old Kings coach was at the game with his grandson William and my daughter Emily and MJ. And we're sitting with the owner, and he was happy as a clam. And I'm sitting there trying to not show any emotion. And the Lakers did not play well, and they go back back-to-back, and LeBron plays. That's back-to-back for the first time this year, and blew them off the court. Crazy.
141-116 Lakers last night over Atlanta. Just a great performance from Los Angeles. Again, if you want to hit us up, 888-957-9570. We head out to TK in Napa. What's up, TK?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing
how are
well.
You?
Thanks for the call.
Good. Thanks. I just want to talk about JK, of course. With tomorrow's kind of the first day that he can be traded, right? And I was listening to Steve on with the guys before you guys got on, And, you know, he just said it's a difficult situation. Well, needless to say, it's a difficult situation. I mean, what's the sense that you guys get? Is this something that kind of wears on the team? It seems to be like a guy that that most of the players, most of the teammates really, really like. But the fact that he's not even getting in at garbage time, I mean, there's obviously a lot of underlying stuff that's going on there. So, you know, getting, you know, trading him, I think, is obviously – it's going to happen. Now, does that provide a sense of relief to the guys, or, you know, or do they just kind of have mixed feelings about it? What do you guys think?
I think the leadership of Butler and Green specifically have really impacted the locker room in a positive way with his situation. They talk about him as a guy who smiles. He communicates well with his teammates. He's working on his game. He hasn't put his head down and said, poor me. And I think he has the respect of the locker room. We always have to remember this. Fellas, this is a business. And sometimes it's not nice. I've been through a lot of those situations. And you got guys crying. You got guys yelling at you. Then you got agents calling. And there's a lot of people, whether it's friends, family, agents, agent for him, that maybe have laid out a game plan for him. And they've expressed that, and there's mutual respect. You can't express it better than Steve Kerr. You know, he's been through these situations, and he's sensitive to this guy's, you know, not playing. He feels bad about it. But in the same sense, sure would love to see the guy have a great career because there's talent there.
Yeah. No, TK, thanks for the call. And I know Draymond relayed this story on his podcast about how JK, you know, took Brandon Pajemski aside, give him some pointers. So it's good to see that JK is still engaged despite not playing, because that could certainly be a disheartening thing. Now, I haven't been inside the Warriors locker room really consistently at all this year, just when I go on road trips, that kind of thing. And I've been on two road trips this season, so it's not like I'm around the team a ton, so I can't tell you what they're thinking. But it's not an easy situation for sure. There's a 3-week window coming up. We'll see what happens until the trade deadline, first week of February. We'll see if Kuminga gets moved or not. And Saint, you could talk to this more, but to TK's question about not playing in, you know, garbage time, I know, like, with some players, kind of it's almost like a nod of respect to not put them in like the last 2 minutes of a 25-point game. Maybe you can kind of clarify here for us, Saint.
Yeah. Could be the head coach. Could be one of your assistants. This situation might happen. Hey, Terry Stotts, walk down and see if Kevin Dana wants to get in here for the last 4 minutes. We're gonna clear the court and put the subs in. Does he want to play? And that's just respect, and that happens all the time. And mostly guys want to play, but you're gonna get such few situations where guys don't. That happens.
Yep. Well, TK, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Obviously, I know the Jonathan Kuminga situation, something that's been talked about ad nauseum, and it's something that, you know, with the trade deadline looming, is going to continue to be a topic that is discussed. But just quickly back to the Hawks game before we take our next break. I thought that in this game, normally when I watch a game, an NBA game for sure, like, I don't see a huge difference in shot quality team versus team. Yeah. But I thought the shot quality on Sunday was noticeably different. Like, usually it's a make or miss league. I thought the game against Atlanta was not a make or miss kind of game. I thought Atlanta wholly outplayed the Warriors.
Another thing you can clearly see is who's bringing the hustle and energy to the game? And you can see it. You can see whether guys are really running the floor hard, if they're really overextending on defense, if they hustle back off of a miss. And I thought Atlanta took care of all those categories. And, you know, I watched Atlanta the other night, and I was looking, and Kev, they're averaging over 30 assists a game. And they're just moving the ball. It reminds me, you know, the old days when the Warriors were getting that consistently, where there is no hesitation. If I'm down on the wing and I don't have anything good, I'm going to the top and we're going the other side and I'm going to cut to the basket. The next guy's going to replace me. I don't know what their number of passes per game is. You know, the Warriors used to be really, really high. Like, what was it? 300 something.
Three hundred plus. Yeah. They would lead the league in passes per game.
I'm guessing here, but I think Atlanta's in that category. I just think they've really done a heck of a job.
No, they really have, and it's – well, they make the Trae Young move, and I think, you know, Kispert and CJ are pretty good additions. CJ McCollum had a nice game last night. So, you know, there was a question about whether they get draft capital, which they did not in that Trae Young trade. But there's a lot of good pieces there, and I think in the second half of the season, I think they're going to be a team that shoots up the standings. I would be shocked if they don't finish the season with a winning record. They're 20-22 right now, but I really think this team is going to have a much better second half of the season. Well, fans, you can join us live at Chase Center tomorrow, January 15th, to see the Warriors versus the New York Knicks. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representative standing by when we come back, taking your calls 888-957-9570, breaking down this upcoming Knicks game and more right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Sorry if you heard me say, oh, come on there. I'm watching the Stanford big man miss a couple of free throws against North Carolina. The bane of my existence, missed free throws. Go Card tonight. Anyways, let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Tomorrow night, the Warriors hosting the New York Knicks, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time right here on 95.7 The Game with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. And Saturday is Educators Night presented by Kaiser Permanente as the Warriors host the Charlotte Hornets, 5 p.m. on the air, 5:30 tip time. MLK Day game presented by NBC Sports next Monday as the Warriors host Miami, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. Wrapping up the 8-game homestand with Toronto the very next night, back end of a back-to-back on Tuesday, January 20th, 6:30 on the air, 7 p.m. tip time. That is Lunar New Year celebration presented by Cash Creek Casino Resort. And then they head out on the road to take on the Dallas Mavericks Thursday, January 22nd. 4:30 p.m. tip time, 4 p.m. on the air with Tim Roy on the call. So let's go back to that game coming up next, the New York Knicks, who are in Sacramento tonight. The Knicks, Saint, 25-14, second in the East right now. By the way, I mean, you saw one of those games. You were there for the win over the Lakers. Kings actually playing pretty well right now. They have two nice wins over Houston and Los Angeles recently. And so we'll see what kind of fight they give the Knicks tonight.
Well, they're undersized. That's an issue. You know, get your Stanford guy in the post. And he's doing a nice job as a rookie. I like him. And, you know, beyond that, they don't have a lot of size. So they're going to be really guard-oriented. And DeRozan played terrific last night. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of Monk's. I just really like him. And I don't know the whole what's gone on there. I know he's on the trade market. I think he's got a couple years left on his deal. But he played really well last night. And, you know, Westbrook plays hard. He gets your team going. I will say that. He misses a lot of shots. But, you know, he'll rebound and move the ball. And LaVine, I don't know. I don't know if he's hurt. He just doesn't look as sharp as he usually does. But I think this is a tough matchup for the Sacramento team in that you got Towns – and Anunoby, and you know, those guys are tough. And then you mentioned Robinson before, and he's like the weather. I don't know when he's going to play and when he's not going to play. And when he does, he's just an unbelievable offensive rebounder. So, and you know, we don't need to talk much about Brunson. We know that's a Very special player. And here's your wild card. You know, I talk about Kuminga, and for them, their wild card is Hart. He plays a little bit like Draymond. You know, he's a very, very good defender. He's tough. He's physical. He can get the ball off the board and push it all away and create for others. And I have a lot of respect for that guy. He's a winner. And by the way, he went to Villanova.
Yep. 2 foot players, they say. Villanova players, 2 feet players. Play off right 2 feet.
Yep. Nice.
And I mean, this is gonna sound like a backhanded compliment, but if you look at the way Josh Hart shoots, you wouldn't think he shoots 40% from three, but he's a 40% 3-point shooter this year. And I mean, when he was out of the lineup, he had a sprained ankle. He missed a few games, and the Knicks started dropping some contests. They lost, I think, 4 in a row. They've lost 5 of 7 recently. Hart is back in the lineup now. He's played 1 game back from that injury. But, yeah, I agree with you. He is definitely an X factor for this team. And our old buddy Mike Brown, the head coach there, I mean, you want to talk about jumping into a pressure cooker of a job when Tom Thibodeau gets fired after taking the Knicks to their first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. So sounds like the mandate is clear. Got to make it out of the East almost.
Yeah, it's special coaching there. I'll use that word. Boy, I'll tell you what, they get a really great crowd and they got a lot of fans. I mean, that's a big market. So you feel it every day. And I don't think there's as many, for example, beat writers. What I mean by that is all the newspapers, because there aren't as many as there used to be. But maybe, I don't know, the other guys online that cover stuff, maybe they're there. But there's heat. There's no doubt about it. And I think he's changed the way they play. They're less deliberate. They're liable to run more. And, Towns is, he's an enigma to me. That guy could average high 20s. That guy's really, really talented. And
he is.
He makes the game hard for himself. He gets in foul trouble. And I just think there's more there.
Yeah, I mean, he calls himself the best shooting big man in the NBA, and I mean, he does have a pretty good claim when he's consistently 40%+ from deep. But you know, this Knicks team, obviously, the expectation from up top is that they make it out of the East. How do you power rank the East right now in terms of teams most likely to make the NBA Finals out of that conference, Saint?
You know, Cleveland beat Philly tonight by 20. And I thought the last game they played, I heard you guys talking about Mobley is so smooth, and they'd like to see him compete harder, be more aggressive on both ends of the floor. Boy, is he skilled. And Mitchell gives it to you. And, you know, Garland was foot problem. He has been what you wanted to be. I like Allen. Tell me about him. He's going to rebound. And he's going to defend.
Yeah.
And he's a class act.
Yep.
They're missing some shooting there with those two guys that have had surgery, Strus and Morrill or what? Yeah. And
Sam Merrill.
They've underachieved. There's no doubt about it. Do I think the Knicks could beat them in a series? Yes, I think they could. And what's crazy to me is what Boston's done. I am amazed at what they've done. Moving all those people because of the cap, Tatum out, Brown's played terrific, and you're getting guys that White has played terrific. Pritchard's starting to play good, and I don't even know who their bigs are. And it's really something what they've done. They really have. I'm a little surprised Orlando hasn't done better. You mentioned Atlanta, and the East, they've got some good teams up at the top, but then you start going down the ladder, and there's a lot of teams that are not very good.
That's very true, Saint. So they're halfway through the homestand, Golden State. They close it out with the Knicks, Charlotte, Miami, and Toronto. Not easy, but also I'd say each game is winnable. And right now, if you break this down, the Warriors are only three games out of sixth. Sixth place Houston through January 20th, which is when the homestand ends for the Warriors. They have Oklahoma City, Minnesota, the Pelicans in San Antonio, all those at home. Seventh place, Phoenix, through January 20th. At Detroit, at the Knicks, at Brooklyn, at Philly on a back-to-back. The Lakers schedule through January 20th. The Lakers are in fifth. Versus Charlotte, at Portland, versus Toronto, at Denver. So if the Warriors go like 3-1 over these next four, they're going to at least keep pace with all three above and probably make up ground against one or two of these teams.
Exactly. I that's a good breakdown, and I would hope that Atlanta, that the Lakers are feeling the same way, that they could go 3-1 when you look at that schedule. And but just take care of your own business. You know, crazy things. I mentioned the win that Miami had over Phoenix last night. I watched that, blew me away. And you know, you're talking about Miami's dangerous. You know, I've seen them play terrible.
They are.
And then I see him play really well with ball movement. Adebayo's play has gone down appreciably because they've changed their offense. And there's not much pick and roll anymore, which he was fabulous at. And Toronto, Kev, you and I talked about Scotty Barnes. I mean, boy, that guy is a terrific player. I tip my hat off to him. You know, they talk about Barrett, and he's a volume shooter and a good athlete, but not to that level. And they don't have much depth. But they compete. So Charlotte's the one you just kind of chalk it up and think you're going to get one there. But those other ones, you got to bring your good game.
Yeah, and I will say Charlotte has played better as of late. I think Charles Lee, he's from the Celtics. He's a part of, you know, I guess you call it that Missoula coaching tree now. He's done a nice job. I actually had a chance to talk with him at the G League Showcase. He actually requested to be interviewed on a broadcast. So we got him on. He's really good dude. I think he's doing a nice job there. They've been competitive. But, yeah, you know, we'll see what the Warriors can do with this homestand. My goal is 3-1 for it. What's your goal?
Well, you know, I'm out here in Danville. I see the sunshine every day. I'm going 4-0.
All right, 4-0, baby. Let's do it. That would put the Warriors at 26-19 if they can get 4-0. And if they get to 4-0, I think they might be like one game out of sixth if they're able to win these next four. And then they're at Dallas, and no AD for Dallas. That is a very winnable game. You can keep on stacking wins if you're Golden State. Well, we've just about run out of time here on Warriors Roundtable. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass for helping us out. Same with Lucas Alexander, Marika Kleto, and RC Davis on the Warriors side of things. For the Saintly One, I'm Kevin Dana saying adios. We will talk to you next week. Have a great rest of your Wednesday evening.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three, cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.